so that you guys will know. Just going to kind of recap what we talked about. Hopefully do that in about 2 minutes. What we talked about kind of last time for those of you who weren't there. Then going to talk about just evangelism very quickly. And then we're just going to split up in groups. And we're going to pray and do some other stuff together. So that's the plan. I don't intend to be here very long. So that is kind of program or the schedule that we're going to try to follow today. So thank you guys for being here. Spence, could you make sure when people come and just close those doors, it'd be helpful. Jason, is that up and ready to go? Just so. Okay. Well, as those of you who were here last time at the first family meeting, what we've been endeavoring to do through the month of January, as we were seeking God's will, we were going through, remember that series, and discerning God's will, decisions, etc., etc. One of the things that God just kept driving home in my own heart was this fact that many times when we're trying to discern the future, or trying to discern what God would have us to do, many times we're being faithless or unfaithful in what God has already shown us. And it seems to be a practice of God's. As we are faithful in those things that we know to be faithful in, somehow, through some way, the unknown often becomes known, and we know what to do to take that next step. So we're a young church, as we said. We're in the last year of our lease here. Coming up in April will be our fourth year. And so we talked about what it's like trying to figure out where God's calling us, what God's calling us to do. We talked about the fact that we feel that Scripture teaches that church planting is God's methodology to secure for himself a redeemed people from every tribe, tongue, and nations. And I know everyone who's been through foundations, you know that backwards and forwards, because that's lesson one. That's the entirety of lesson one. So I know you know that. But so that's something that we want to do. That's something that we're desirous of doing. But we also talked about in examining ourselves and just taking a sober look at who we are as a church, what God's graced us to do, and what things we do well, what things we're not doing so well. One of the things that we felt was this, that we as a church do not, and me, I'd be talking particularly, taking responsibility for that, have not been faithful in the area of evangelism. In the area of sharing the gospel on a continual, regular basis with people that don't know Christ. And so it's interesting for someone who's a pastor, because many times that's something that pastors often have a strength, and it's something that's recognized with people, and they start to, all of a sudden, they kind of give their lives to full-time vocational ministry, and guess what happens as soon as they do? The evangelism part, guess what happens to it? And suddenly that no longer becomes a focus. Suddenly there's other things that are important and good and needful, but they become unfaithful in that area. And I've been unfaithful in that area, and I want to change. And I believe that God's desire for us as a group, as a church, is to be faithful in what is known. And so we're trying to think of, you know, we have this desire to be a part of church plant, maybe in the Blacksburg area, Harrisonburg, who knows what God's going to do. But we're thinking, gosh, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to want to export unfaithfulness somewhere else, does it? You know, hey, let's go plant a church in Blacksburg and make that one unfaithful too. So it's not as if, okay, we're going to get everything right and get everything fixed, and when we're perfect, then God's going to call us to launch out and plant other churches, etc. No. Because that'll never happen until heaven. But it is important, I think, when God makes something known, for us just to respond in faith and just say, God, acknowledge it, and we just need help. We want to be faithful. And so that's what we want to be as a church. We're looking as a church just to be faithful in what God would give us. And if he allows us to be able to be a part of a church plant here in the next few years, man, that would be great. That would be our heart's desire. But whether he does that or not in the next few years or 10 years down the road, we want to be faithful right now. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be faithful as a group. And so the way we're doing this is trying to set aside a time in the fall for 5 or 6 weeks where we will be sharing the gospel with a relative, sharing the gospel with a neighbor, sharing the gospel with a friend, sharing the gospel with, get ready, a stranger. So what we're trying to do is say, hey, who are we? What are the relationships we already have? Everyone has neighbors, everyone has coworkers, everyone has friends, everyone has relatives. And it was an eye-opener for me. I shared this last time, but it was an eye-opener for me when my brother-in-law came up, and his wife has actually lived in Roanoke for 10 years. And I just shared with him, hey, have you ever gone to church? And so we were just talking, and I knew that they went to, actually, in St. Petersburg, where we're from, there's a Sovereign Grace Church there now. There wasn't when I was growing up, but there was one there. And they had gone a couple of times just because they knew him. And so they kind of went a couple of times. But I asked her, do you know that when I asked her, you know, what was your experience in church? She said this. I couldn't believe it. It shocked me. She said that I've never been to church before. I'm like, you're kidding me. And you lived in Roanoke, you know, for 10 years? I thought everyone in Roanoke went to church somewhere. That's what they told us on the phones, didn't they? Oh, yeah, we're involved. See you later, Bruce. But it was amazing. And I just thought, so then I just said this, and this is how skillful I was. You're a skillful pastor. I just said, hey, have you guys ever heard the gospel? No. Can I share it with you? Okay. Ooh, and I shared it with them. I mean, it was that easy. But those were, I mean, you have relatives like that, too, that you already have a relationship with. And so what we're trying to do is just to use those relationships for the glory of God, and to, with intentionality for us as families, as us as individuals, to be strategically encouraging these relationships, develop these relationships in such a way throughout the year so that in the fall, when we come and we do share the gospel with them, they're not thinking, who is this guy? What does he think he's doing? He's just using me. We're trying to basically be inviting them over to eat, talking with them on the phone, just developing relationships so that in the fall, that when it comes time, as we're going to be equipped how to share the gospel, we're going to already have memorized scriptures and all that kind of stuff, and we're going to basically be able to, in the fall, know that, hey, the time's coming, I'm going to be able to share with that person I've always wanted to share with, because I know it's true. I know you have probably multiple people in your heart, in your mind right now that you think, you know what? I want to share the gospel with them, but I don't know how, or I'm scared, or it just hasn't come about. How do I know that? Well, because the Holy Spirit, if you're Christian, the Holy Spirit lives within your heart, and God's desire is more than anything else in the world to share His glory. And so I know you want to evangelize. I know you want to share. And so we have come up with the most incredible program that you've ever seen to be able to develop, to be able to share the gospel. We have it on video, and we're actually going to show it to you. And just to build your faith before, this is exactly how we're going. Okay, so we'll need some volunteers. Sometimes it can feel that way, though. Sometimes it can feel like, boy, being out there sharing our faith is the most difficult thing that we can imagine. But the truth is, it's something that comes natural to God. It's something that comes natural to His Spirit. And if the Spirit resides in you, you too can be an evangelism linebacker. So look forward to that. So I want to just address something today, and then we're going to split up in groups just a moment. But many times we think that, you know, evangelism's really for the elite, for those people who are specially equipped to be able to share their faith, as if kind of there's this elite class of evangelists or these elite class of super spiritual Christians that somehow have just got more gumption than the rest of us, and somehow they are better than us, and they're the ones that evangelize. I don't know what the statistic is lately, and I don't know how accurate these are anyhow, but it's interesting when you hear the number of Christians who have actually shared their faith and someone's come to Christ with an unbeliever, the percentages are very low. It's something like 5 to 10%, something like that, of all Christians shared their faith. Now, do I know that's true, or do I know how to verify that? No, but I think we would be able to say, in honesty, that if I asked you the question, you know, hey, when's the last time, you know, you shared your faith? If we had a raise of hands, which we're not going to do, if we had folks raise their hands, you know, boy, in the last month, the last 2 months, and as we look at Scripture, it seems like that wasn't the case. It seems like people were doing this on a regular basis, and it doesn't seem like it was only the Apostle Paul, or only Barnabas, or only the apostles and elders. You remember the story there in Acts 8? I'm just going to look at just three different places to support that, and then we're going to split up in groups. You remember where Stephen is being executed there. Saul, who later becomes the Apostle Paul, says in Acts 8, "And Saul approved of his execution, and there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So the apostles stayed there in Jerusalem. Everybody else was scattered. "Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." So the apostles were there in Jerusalem. The people that went out were just regular common folk, people like me, people like you, who went out and they were actually sharing their faith. And what a misnomer many times when you think of evangelism. Evangelism's not, it's not sharing your testimony. Evangelism is not presenting different facts. Evangelism is not living your life in such a way that you're holy and blameless, that people can see that you're a Christian. Those are good and those are helpful. But euangelion, to evangelize, means to speak forth, to proclaim the good news. And so when we talk about evangelism, there has to be that proclamation. It's not enough just to have evangelism indeed. In other words, hey, look at my life, and people should be able to see that I'm a Christian. That makes a difference. The problem with that is, especially here where we live in Roanoke, is that many times there's this misconception that what we just display to the world is just Pharisees, that folks that are really good and nice and kind, and so they look and they say, like my neighbor would say, our neighbor did say one day, "Oh boy, Bruce, you know, your children are just so wonderful." And I tried to say, "Well, thank you for that. Just trying to be kind. Well, thank you for that." But just trying to give him a little reality and say, "Well, you know, they..." And I said the word sinners, and he just blew up. He did evangelism linebacker on me. He blew me up. And just was just shocked that I would say that about my children. And trying to communicate the fact, no, that we need God. We need God's grace. That's not who we are. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. But that's not who we are. That's not who I am either. But there has to be that it's not enough for people just to look at our lives. We have to share with them why we live the way we do, what has happened in our life, how it's changed. And we need to be able to share with them the gospel, that they can repent, that they too can be changed, that they too can have their sins forgiven. That takes proclamation. It takes the use of words. It takes communication. And God's a communicative God. God is a God who loves to communicate to His people. How do I know that? Well, we have the Bible. Those are God's Word communicated to us, and Christ was enfleshed to communicate to the world, hey, this is what the Father's like, this is what He thinks, this is how He acts, this is what He says. Acts 11:19, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews." So at this particular time, they were sharing the gospel with those who were of Jewish nationality. "But there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus." So there were also other folks that were going to Antioch. Does anyone know the significance of Antioch? I'm sure you do. What happened in Antioch? Yeah, it was the place where people were first called Christians, right? It was the hub. It was the center of Paul and Barnabas' evangelistic crusade, basically. Antioch became the sending church. Not Jerusalem, Antioch, actually. It was from there that Paul and Barnabas were eventually sent out. It was there that Paul would go back and go on a second missionary journey, a second church planting journey, I think would be better described. Go back, and he went back to Antioch. And so, isn't it interesting that here, this hub, these people heard the gospel not because of the faithfulness of the apostles preaching the word, but just ordinary people. Ordinary people that felt that, hey, these guys need to hear the gospel. Matthew 9, 37 through 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's a wonderful truth that we know in sharing our faith. And as we will find out, I think, this year and upcoming years, is this fact that it's not up to us. You know, we're just required by God just to simply be faithful. It's not our message. It's not our power. It's not our skill. It's not our reasonability to somehow persuade people. We can't do it. We can't give faith. We can't tell them that, hey, if you stack quarters up knee high, 3 feet high, all the way across the state of Texas, and you mark one of those quarters with a red mark, that's the equivalent of what it's like that Jesus fulfilled all these prophets. It's not going to work. That might help. That might take away some, not discounting that. But what I'm saying is, it's God who regenerates. It's God who saves. And the wonderful thing is, we have the opportunity just to simply share the gospel and trust God. And so it's amazing at times. Sometimes it's surprising at times how God works. And that's even surprising that it should surprise us. That the gospel works. It really does. It's the power unto salvation. That's why Paul says, hey, I'm not ashamed of it. Because it works. It's not up to me. Paul was certainly a skilled orator, certainly a skilled scholar, certainly knew the gospel better than probably anyone. Yet he realized, we realize from Scripture, that it's God who changes hearts, God who changes lives. And it's incredibly freeing knowing that. And so we want to be people that don't just look to the professionals to evangelize. We want to be a part of those people. We want to be obedient to what Scripture says. We want to do as God would have us to do. We want to go and make disciples. We want to go share the gospel so that others would be saved, so others would come to know us or to know our Lord as the Savior. And just thinking in this room, imagine if just one of those four folks came to know Christ through your sharing. Imagine one out of ten, imagine how many people would populate this place right now. It would just be incredible. Wouldn't it be incredible if those who love sound doctrine, those who love Reformed theology, those who relish in the sovereignty of God and growth and discipleship, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was actually a place, a church, where that was happening, but also new people were coming to know Christ, people off the street, drug addicts, harlots, businessmen, lawyers, people that are professionals that need Christ. They were coming, being saved, their marriages were being transformed, their children were coming to know the Lord, and they were marrying people who are in the Lord, and all of a sudden, there is a huge impact in the Roanoke Valley. Wouldn't that be incredible? Wouldn't that be exciting? Do you think that's impossible for God to do something like that? I don't either. I think it's God's desire. I think it's God's heart. I think it's not one or the other. Discipleship or evangelism, teaching or sharing the gospel. No, I think they go together. It's God's plan. It's God's design. And His design is to use you and to use me in that process. And so as I look at it that way, I think, wow, what a privilege for me to be able to share the gospel with people that are on their way to hell, that are condemned already, right now under condemnation, right now it's as if they're standing in a house that's aflame with fire. And God is going to use me somehow to rescue them. It's exciting for me to think about, and I hope for you as well. What we want to do just in the remaining time is just split up in groups. And what we want to do is this. I want to help you do two things. One, to pray for those people specifically that you've been thinking about right now. And next time we meet, we're going to try to have those three folks nailed down, written down when we come in, so that we can basically pray for them. But also in that same group, hopefully we'll just meet in those same groups, and you meet in whatever groups you'd like. we can exchange those. So I can be praying for your three folks. You can be praying for my three folks. You might think of this, hey, maybe there's someone as a couple. You guys say, hey, we'd really like to share the gospel with this couple. Maybe a husband and wife. That'd be maybe a neighbor. Maybe a family has, you know, someone that they really want to share as a family. Maybe, as we talked about earlier, maybe as you play sports this year or involved in extracurricular activities, you're involved with this mindset. Hey, as we play baseball this year, I want to make sure as my son plays and I'm going to the game, my wife and I, we're going to be believing God for someone there, some parent there, that we're going to befriend, that we're going to relate to, and that with the end of, in the fall, that we're going to share the gospel with. All of a sudden, those extracurricular activities take on a whole new light, and all of a sudden, we're doing what 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever we eat or drink, whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. All of a sudden, we have focus for what we're doing. All of a sudden, we're having relationships the way God intends with an unbeliever, with an end to sharing the gospel. What could be more loving than that? What could be more unloving than not sharing the gospel? But what we want to do in those groups is to be thinking about that, talking about that, next time when we meet, to have those three people so that we can exchange those. And so you could have yours, I'll have mine as a group. We can be exchanging those and have a list so that we can be praying for them throughout the year, so that in the fall, as we share the gospel, we've saturated this particular person with prayer. We've saturated this presentation that we're going to present with prayer, that we've been praying, God, soften their hearts, draw them to yourself, show them things. We've invited them over our house. We've had them over for hospitality. We've tried to go on hikes together. We've just done many things before the fall in such a way that it just makes it feel natural. It's just a friend, and I care about you. I just want to share the gospel with you. And so that's one of the things we're going to be doing in the groups. The second thing is we've made up these scripture memory cards for you. And what we'd like to do is to give at least one. We'll have more next time. But one per family if we could, or one per single. And what they are is just what we decided to do is try to help you so that in the fall we're not dumping this information on you and you're thinking, oh my goodness, as I'm sharing the gospel, I've got to remember this, what's that scripture again? We're trying to kind of space it out over time. And so what we've done, it just had four scriptures that we've had here in this card, these cards that you can carry on a keychain, and you can just work on these as a family during this next month or so, where you are memorizing different scriptures. Here would be one that we think that would be important that people would hear, and you probably know it, Romans 3:23. What does that say? You already know one. See, isn't that neat? You already know one out of four. Exodus 34:7. What does that say? Yeah, yet he will not allow the guilty to go unpunished. Real easy, right? But two very important scriptures. And so what we're trying to do is pepper that in such a way that we can just learn those scriptures. Not just me, not just my wife, but my entire family. This is a way we can be learning about the gospel together. And it's a way that we can be focused together. Hey, we are going to memorize these scriptures that pertain to salvation. I can't think of anything more valuable or important. We're going to memorize these little by little as a family so that when we come to the fall, when we're putting this whole presentation together, we've already got the scriptures. And we say, hey, Romans 3:23, we already know it. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we can just put it in there. That way we're spreading things out. So what we want to do today is give you time to practice right now so that you're not having to go off and do this. And so what you could do is just, hey, Romans 3:23, as you're in your groups, just to pair up, and let's say you're in a group of probably 6 to 8 people would be good. And maybe within that group, pair up with two people and say, hey, let's just go over these four scriptures right now. Let's try it. Romans 3:23, for all sin, fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Okay, why don't you ask me? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come on, you dumb linebacker. Come here. No, I'm kidding. No, fall short of the glory. Just to take a few minutes just to try that, just to start. And we're going to do that each time. We're going to give you time just to work on memorization of scriptures. And then what we're going to do just lastly is we're still in those groups. Just to pray for those people involved that you're going to share with. Hey, I'm not sure yet, but I think we're going to be praying for this. Could you pray for Bob, my neighbor? Could you pray for Stan, my brother, he's one I've been wanting to share the gospel with for years. Would you pray right now? And so I want to take time as a group to be praying for all those people in your group. So I think we, Spence, where do we have this stuff? Okay, why don't we do that? So what we'd like to do is we're going to be doing two things. We're going to be praying for those people in the network, talking about those people in our network. Remember, neighbor, relative, friend, coworker, pray for that stranger. We're going to try to figure out a way that you can talk to strangers because I know you want to do that. And trust God for that. And then we're just going to practice doing the memory scripture cards. So if we could just stand up, if you could just find... And hey, here's another good opportunity for you to go to someone in another care group. Maybe you could be with a couple that you already know, and if you're scared, maybe you could go with people that you already know, and then, hey, would you go with me? Would we go with someone that we don't know? And maybe you could hold hands together and walk over there and just introduce yourself. I'm kidding. I know you don't feel that way. But just trust the Lord. What we'd like to do is stay in these same groups each time so that you can be praying for those same people. So, just trust the Lord. Just get in groups of 6 to 8 if you're like Jason or me and your group's already 8. just use wisdom, however you want to do it. Work it out. So if you guys could do that right now, that would be great.